God bless you. Love you, brother. Well, praise the Lord. I'd rather be here and saved as in the best air conditioning and lost, wouldn't you? Amen. Amen. It's good to know God. I want to say I thank the Lord for saving me. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. God's been good to me. I don't have any sad songs to sing. And I want to tell you tonight, the best thing He ever did for me was die for me on the cross of Calvary. And then when I got here, let me know it and draw me unto Himself and save me by His good grace. I appreciate Him calling me to preach and appreciate this opportunity. And Brother Ken, I thank God for the opportunity to preach here. It's a good bunch of people, and I thank God for you. And it's been a blessing and a help to me this week to be able to preach a few nights. Now, you got good preaching coming tomorrow night through Wednesday, and you need to be here and be a part of it. And Brother Rick will bring you the Word of God. Turn with me, if you will, in the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Find your place and stand to your feet. Matthew chapter 11. Last night, the Lord let me preach on heaven. And when I got out of the car down here this evening, I thought, well, we might just need to preach on hell. But I'm not going to do that. But I want you to listen and pray for me and get the message I believe that the Lord has for us this evening. Verse 15, Matthew chapter 11, read down through verse 24. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Now that phrase is found in the New Testament several times. It has always intrigued me. God is saying, I've got something to say, and I want you to listen up to what I'm about to say. He said, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to the children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Now I want to read that verse again, because it's important about what I believe the Lord wants to say to us. Then he began to upbraid the cities, listen, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you tonight for what you've already done in this service. Thank you, Father, for touching the singers and the songs. And thank you, Lord, for helping us to be reminded about your amazing, amazing grace. Father, I thank you for every trial and every trouble you've already brought us through. Lord, I'm glad you'll get your children safe home one day. Now, Lord, tonight as we look into this passage of Scripture, God, I pray you'd give me understanding of your truth tonight. Lord, in the ability to communicate the message you put on our heart. And I pray that you'd open all of our ears and our understanding. Lord, when we understand what you have to say, may we do, God, what you want us to do. God, where there's sin and backwardness, God, help us to repent. Father, help us to move up close to you. We ask this in Jesus' name for your honor and glory. Amen and amen. I want to preach on this thought tonight, the comparison of Capernaum of the past to the church of the present. Down verse 23 and 24, the Lord addresses the town of Capernaum. I believe we can see some parallels that was going on in their day as to what's going on in our day as we listen to the Word of God. Now, when you look into the New Testament, especially the life of the Lord Jesus when he was here on earth, it truly is amazing how he was treated by the people here. For instance, when Jesus went into Gadara and cast the demons out of that demoniac, you'll remember that he allowed the demons to go into the swine. They run into the sea and was drowned. And because the people suffered financial loss, they run Jesus out of town. They said, leave. You're causing us too much uncomfort. You're causing us too much turmoil as the way we want to live. And they told him to leave. Imagine that, the Son of God that had saved a boy that they couldn't do nothing with and tried to chain him and everything else. They saw the power of God demonstrated. They said, we'd rather have what we got than have the power of God. In his own hometown of Nazareth, there's a crowd of religious leaders trying to get him and throw him off the brow of a mountain, but he slipped out of their way. That's amazing to the very Son of God. Yet when you find the Samaritans who were hated and outcast, he went through their place. They asked him to stay a while, and he stayed around and taught them. Now in the city of Capernaum, they didn't treat him bad. They didn't rail on him. They didn't ask him to leave town. They didn't bring any accusations against his name. But one thing that they did not do is receive the Word of God. And they did not repent. Now you say, preacher, you're preaching to the Sunday night crowd of the Burke County Camp Meeting. Well, I thought of that when I read verse number 20 about where Jesus had done most of his mighty works. I believe tonight in this place, over the years, it's got a heritage of the presence and the power of God. People have been saved and preachers have been called. Lives have been rescued as they were slipping down a path of sin. And God has done a great and a mighty work here. Then you think about the churches that are represented here. Some of the best churches in Burke County where the presence and the power of God has visited often. Where God has showed up in miraculous power. And God has changed lives like nobody else could change lives. It's a little bit parallel to what it was like in Capernaum when Jesus was there. I want us to look first of all at Capernaum's exalted privilege. The privilege, one of the privileges that they had was the special presence of the Lord Jesus that was there. I want you to turn back to chapter 4 of the book of Matthew. I want to read you a few verses. What the Bible said about Capernaum, beginning with verse number 12. The Bible said, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan of Galilee of the Gentiles. Listen to this. The people that sat in darkness shall see a great light. And to them which sat in the region of the shadows of death, light sprang up. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now what happened in Capernaum was the Lord came there and He began to shine the divine light of truth on their lives and in their heart. And the message that Jesus had was repent and turn unto me. So I want to say they had the special privilege as Jesus began His earthly ministry there. A lot of times when there's a church, there's a preacher that's been noted of notoriety, God's used him and God's put His hand on him. Churches like to say, he pastored here and he pastored here. I want to tell you, Capernaum could say the Lord began His ministry right here in our town. What a privilege. Not only did He begin His ministry there, He called it His own city. Chapter 9, verse 1, if you want to read there sometimes, it speaks of Capernaum. He was visited there so much, it was kind of the headquarters from whence He preached, and it was called His own city, adopted city, if you will. His hometown was Nazareth, but during His ministry, His Capernaum was where He was at oftentimes. And I want you to say, want you to see that He came there often. In Mark chapter 2 and verse number 1, it said again, He entered into Capernaum. I'll tell you, it'd be a great blessing if God would come by one time. I mean, if we'd gather 10 nights and God had come by one time, wouldn't that be a blessing? But God comes by again and again and again and again and again. Year after year, He graces us with His presence. Not only that, if the people wanted to find Jesus, they knew where to go. More than likely, they could go to Capernaum. And He is there. I believe this camp meeting has that kind of testimony. You know, if people want to hear from God, I believe they can come to this place. Just talking about the exalted privilege that Capernaum had. Much of His teaching was given there. The Bible said, Mark chapter 2 and verse 2, and He preached the word unto them. Let me just say a thing about that. I was going to just hit that and pass on. But you know, we live in a day when preaching's not important in people's eyes like it used to be. I want to tell you tonight, if you got a man of God with the message of God, you need to thank God several times a day for the preaching of the Word of God. I want to tell you, it's a privilege to have preaching. I've stood, sat on platforms and listen to me, I enjoyed this good singing. I'm for singing. I'm not against singing. But I've watched people when the singing was going on, they'd get all stirred up. And when the singing was done and the preacher got up, they didn't leave the building, but you could tell that's done. You could tell they'd already checked out. Amen. I'll tell you, it's a privilege to have God's message given to us, because preaching is the divinely designed method of communicating truth to mankind. You see, the Bible tells us many times, about the importance and the privilege of preaching. Jesus was a preacher. The Bible said He preached the word unto them. There's a purpose God's given us preaching for. One of them's to save souls. Bible said in Romans 10 verse 14 and following, how shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe upon Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Matter of fact, He said in 1 Corinthians 1:21 that it pleased God. I don't tell you, Preaching might curl your hair, but it pleases God. Preaching might be, it pleases God. The Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There's another purpose of preaching, and it's to establish people. I mean, build you up, help you to grow, give you something to chew on, give you an anchor of your soul when the winds blow, that it not move you off course. The Bible said in Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. It's the way you're grounded. I'm just simply saying Jesus preached unto them in Capernaum. I want to tell you, you can go back through the records. I've been in this camp meeting now about 25 years. My, what preaching every year. I don't believe it's been a year that they've been somebody just tickle years. I mean, people get back and rear back and preach the Word of God. Most of your churches is that way. People preaching the Word of God. I'm still talking about the privilege that Capernaum had. Jesus did many of his miracles in Capernaum. Let me just name you a few. In chapter 8 of Matthew, it tells about him healing the centurion's servant. That centurion come to him, said, my servant's sick. You know the story Jesus said, I'll go with you. He said, oh, you don't have to go. I believe you got power. You can just speak the word. Jesus said, I've not found so much faith. Now in Israel, he healed the centurion's servant. Then right after that, it tells that he healed Peter's mother-in-law at the house. She was sick, and he touched her hand, and she revived, and she got up and ministered unto them. It was there that the Bible says in Matthew 8 and verse 16, also in 9 verses 1 and 2, that he cast out devils and healed the sick. Many devils and many sick. He did those things. He healed the ruler's daughter there in Matthew 9:18. And he also healed the woman with the issue of blood. I want to tell you, time would fail us tonight to tell all the things that God has done here. I want to tell you, the greatest miracle is still the saving of a soul. Thank God he can heal an infirmity. I want to tell you, that person lived to die. I want to tell you, he saves your soul. You'll never die. And that's the greatest miracle we'll ever see. He's done many miracles in that sense among us. But I want you to notice in verse number 20 again, Capernaum's refusal to repent. He said in these verses, then began he to upbraid, that is to rebuke, the cities wherein his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Now the abundance of spiritual light and the privilege of God's presence and power and the blessings did not move them. I'm going to tell you what I believe I'm seeing all across this land, or at least a little part of it I go and I'm in this day. I'm seeing churches where it's no stranger to see the presence of God and the power of God even manifest himself. But there's not a lot of repenting. I mean, we want, when we come, we want the power of God to be upon the singers. We want the power of God to be upon the preacher. But when it comes down to God speaking to our heart and changing our lives and changing our ways, we just sit back and say, I'm right here, I'm comfortable, this is where I'm going to stay. I want to tell you, the value of this meeting and the gauge of this meeting is not going to be how many nights people shouted. It's not going to be how loud the preacher preached. But it's going to be how many lives was changed, how many people met Jesus, and how many people let Jesus do for them what he wanted to do in their heart and their life. We're fat with knowledge. We've heard, but we don't process it. We don't let God have his way in our lives. And we don't repent. That's the situation with Capernaum. I want to tell you, here, the knowledge of their sins didn't move them. You know, today you can preach sin. You can preach it where it's evident, where there's no hiding it and no excuse about it. People sit and listen to you preach about their sin, about sin they're in. But as far as getting to God, let him purge them and let him change them and let him quicken them. There's not a lot of that going on in our day. How many churches tonight would say, "Preacher, we need revival"? Just about every one of us. How many individuals would say, "Preacher, I need a revival"? The vast majority of us. I'll tell you, why do we need revival? There's sin in the camp. There's sin in the heart. There's complacency and there's indifference that keeps us from God. He said it is your sin that has separated you from your God. And he preaches the same gospel, the same word, the same Holy Ghost, but the knowledge of sin don't shake people anymore. I don't understand why. I guess one reason it's got so fashionable and it's got so accepted and it got where it's so widespread, you don't feel out of place. Don't tell you, if the Holy Ghost ever puts his light on you, you need to move toward him. Amen. Not only the knowledge of their sin didn't move them, but we see their spiritual need. Jesus is here saying, "Hey, you got a need. There's a problem in town. There's a situation of peril that's hanging over you." Let me ask you this. Does anybody here believe America's under judgment? Where are we living? You know, somehow we always exclude ourselves. You know what Nehemiah did? When he realized the condition of Jerusalem and he prayed, he confessed to God. He said, "I and my fathers have sinned." And I'll tell you, the churches tonight are looking everywhere else. The Christian are looking at everybody else. But if we ever have a move of God and you say, "Preacher, what's at stake? Your families are at stake. Your children are at stake. Your grandbabies are at stake tonight." But the need. You ever noticed how every generation's getting further away from God? You ever noticed how somebody grew up in a godly home? For the most part, it don't always work like this, but for the most part, the next generation's a little further away and a little further away and a little further away. Have you ever noticed that our churches have got comfortable because we might feel like we're a little more spiritual than the church down the street, but we've drifted away from the standard of God's Word. And Jesus said they didn't repent. They repented not. When Jesus come that way, I want you to see their need. They didn't confess the Lord and turn to them. Now they were kind. And they heard him. They didn't tell him to hush. They didn't tell him to get out. They probably even came when he started preaching and the crowd gathered around. They probably come and stood and got in the crowd. over there in the 6th chapter of the book of Mark. I'll not turn over there. But it tells us, I believe it's that chapter, tells us about Herod when John the Baptist was in town. Herod called him forth, wanted him to preach to him. He'd already sentenced him to death. And Herod respected the man of God. He wanted to hear the man of God, but he didn't listen to what he had to say and repent of his sin. So I want us to look now. I want us to see Capernaum's doom. And Jesus is not just whistling Dixie. He's not just preaching to make a noise. And he's not just filling up time. I think that's what a lot of us do. I mean, the calendar says it's time to go to church. Or the calendar says it's camp meeting time. So we just mark time. Let's go to church. Sunday school time, so we're going to go to Sunday school. It's preaching time, so we'll sit and preaching. It's camp meeting time, so we'll preach. I mean, we can put a mark up. We can put a mark on our calendar, a notch in our belt, and we say, hey, I went to a camp meeting, boy. We can go to work, brag about it, boy, it's hot down there, I sweated. Boy, we had a good time. But what did God do for you? How did He change us? How did He affect us in our life? Jesus said to them, down here in verse number 23, He called them by name. Wasn't any question. He said, "And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven." I want to say, he said, "Capernaum, you got a lot of status. I've been good to you. Your city's doing well. People are doing well in the city. I've come by. Boy, you've got a name, Capernaum. You've got a name." I believe I read over in Revelation about a church that had a name that lived, but it was dead. There's people got names just because of the church you belong to. Where do you go to church? Oh, I go to church at Western North Baptist Church. Oh, that's over where Preacher Seyfried preaches. He's a man of God. Yeah, I got a name. You go, your church. Oh, that's where Pastor Sons are. Yeah. He said, Capernaum, the message is directed here. Notice what he said. Which are exalted to heaven shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. There's not much revs us up more than sodomy and sodomites, is there? I mean, though a most vile, ungodly sin. I mean, if I wasn't even a Christian, that'd make me mad. But he said, listen, that vile place, those ungodly deeds, where the judgment of God fell, he said they're going to be better off in the judgment than Capernaum. I want you to see that Capernaum has been blotted out as a city. Now, I've preached this for a long time. What we got around here of God is a blessed privilege. I mean, where you got the touch of God and not just religion. Where you got the presence and the power of God, a man that knows God and is walking with God and preaching to you as your pastor, that's a great, great, great blessed privilege. Privilege given to you by the Almighty God. But I want to tell you something. God can move on down the road. People don't want God. You don't think He will. Brother, there's church after church after church that used to have God, the power of God and the moving of God, and they got where they were comfortable and they didn't want Him. They're still a having church. The steeple still points up to the sky, but He's moved on down the road. I want to tell you something. The city of Capernaum was so high, glorious in Jesus' day, this blotted out and the sight of it was unknown for ages. Today, Capernaum is an excavated mound of ruins. In 1997, I was privileged to go to Israel. That was one of our stops on the north border of the Sea of Galilee, the city of Capernaum. They showed us some excavation there where they said was an old synagogue. They showed us a foundation of a house and said this could have been Peter's house where Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. But I want to tell you, it's just a bunch of rubble that's been dug out of the ground now. You say, preacher, what is that? It's still preaching. It's still preaching. It's still saying what the Lord said is true. You see, historically, the city of Capernaum is a testimony to the destructive path of sin. And it wasn't the sin of immorality. Was not the sin of sodomy or any perversion. But it was the sin of complacency. It was the sin of becoming ease in Zion. It was the sin of just letting the Lord pass through and life was right there, but they rejected what He offered them. I believe I'm preaching to some of the most moral people in Burke County. Probably some of the most honest people. Hard-working people. But listen, if we listen to the Word of God and God speaks to our heart and He touches our heart about sin, listen, do you know this? The Bible said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We're all the time looking at the sins of commission. We are very seldom looking at the sins of omission. What we leave out of our lives. I want to tell you what's killing church and hindering the power of God now is what we're leaving out of it. I mean, we leave heart out of it. We leave sincerity out of it. We've got her down pat. We know how it's done. We've got the schedule memorized, and we can go right on through. I want to tell you, God don't have His Word declared just to let it pass from one ear out and out the other. He wants it to lodge in the heart. He wants it to make a difference. God don't send a man to a church to preach as a pastor. God don't send one by in revival. But what He wants to help you and heal you with the Word of God. I want to tell you, God hadn't had this camp meeting here for all these years, but what He wanted to help the saints of God. And the question I want to ask myself and you, we've come, well, we've developed an ear for good gospel singing and we've liked it. I mean, preaching like's been done around here, Brother Finney and Brother Safer will do, I mean, that's the kind you've been raised on. You wouldn't want any other kind. But how has it affected your walk with God and your worship of God and your love for God? Jesus said here in this passage of Scripture, but I say unto you, it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. I want to tell you what I've noticed. Been guilty of it myself, I guess, and asked God to help me. But I've noticed a spiritual arrogance among our kind. Bless God, we don't use them off perversions of the Bible. Bless God, we've still got some standards. Listen, I believe in the King James Bible. And I believe in standards. Don't let them down. But I'm going to tell you, if we turn away the real meat of the Word of God, I'm going to tell you, you can look and read out of the right book and dress right, but it might be more tolerable in the day of judgment for them than it is for you, because you've had everything God wants you to have. I want to tell you what y'all do, rather than getting proud and arrogant. Y'all to get down on your face and say, God, I want to thank you for sending us a man of God but stayed with the stuff. I want to thank you for sending us enough people in this church that'll stay with the stuff. And dear God, if it wouldn't have been for you, we'd be off somewhere down the road on a different side road. Well, to thank God. I want to tell you, the amount of light and privilege, that is opportunity, this determines the degree of judgment. You see that in the life of the nation of Israel. Read over, I believe it's in the book of Amos, when the Lord begins to pronounce judgment on the pagan nations that are around Israel. Boy, you can just almost, as you read that, see the people of Israel saying, whoop, glory, amen, get them, God. And he names pagan nation after pagan nation after pagan nation after pagan nation. But then he turns to Israel. And he pronounces judgment. Because they had the light. I believe Peter said something like, judgment begins at the house of God. I want to say the knowledge, the light, the opportunities we have determine the degree of judgment in me and you. You see, great privilege requires great responsibility. But listen to this. Privilege don't always produce the designed effect. God gathers us together and does his part. A lot of times it don't have the effect because we reject him and harden our heart against him. Moral respectability and religion and intellect without repentance cannot, will not please God. I want God to be pleased. See, I've come to this meeting. And this year, I usually am out here. This year, I had the responsibility of preaching. What a great responsibility that is. But I don't tell you, I got a responsibility greater than that. I got a responsibility of hearing and receiving and letting my life be different. Because I've been under the sound of the Word of God for the glory of God. I want them to go ahead and come get an invitational hymn tonight. What has God said to you? What has God done for you? What do you know God wants to do in your heart and in your life? Why, it may stem way back from the message on Monday night out of Psalm 103. About praising God. It may stem back to Tuesday night or Wednesday night or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. It may be something God said this morning when your pastor stood up and preached, or something that's been working in your heart for a month or two, but you ain't let God have His way. As we stand, I want it to be good in the day of judgment. The Lord see the fruit of His work and work in our lives.